Let's go open our Bibles to Luke chapter 12. It's a little bit of scripture reading, but I'm going to try not to be too long. Of course, that's not really in my control. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 32. We'll read all the way down to 48. Jesus speaking, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell all that you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And know this, that if the goodman of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh in an hour when ye think not. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even to all? And the Lord said, Who then is that faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you, that he will make him ruler over all that he hath. But, and if that servant say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to beat the manservants and maidens, and to eat and drink and to be drunken, the Lord of that servant will come in a day when he looketh not for him, and at an hour when he is not aware, and will cut him asunder, and will appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. And that servant which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whom much is given, of whom shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more." That's the scripture I want you to take away. When God has committed more to you, he requires more. And then now let's read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12 and 13. She'll have them up here so we can move through them very quickly. Paul speaking says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them that labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves." Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. "Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you." One more scripture in Isaiah chapter 21. I usually go from the Old Testament forward, but this one I want to leave this scripture reading at the end with this one right here. "The burden of Duma, he called to me out of Seir, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, The morning cometh, and also the night, and if you will inquire, inquire ye. Return, come." Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord, we just pray that you take these words, God, that they are yours. They were have been through the ages. They have shown themselves to be tried and true and fire. It still stands with us today as truth. Lord, the only form of truth that we have is your word. And so we ask, God, this evening, Lord, that you, through your great Holy Spirit, you can seal away these things into the hearts of your people, Lord. We just give you all, every part of our faculty, our thinking, our voice, our movements, we give them to you, Lord, and ask God that you just use them for your glory to help your people. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Last week, I ministered on a topic called the message of grace. And tonight, I'm going to preach another message of grace, but this one's called the watchman. Amen. So, you know, as believers, if we believe God and we believe him and we believe in him, then we have to believe that God knows all about us.
That's right.
I don't want to serve a God that just doesn't, is, you know, too far away or whatever.
Right.
Well, that just the very concept of God means that he's all-knowing and all-powerful and so forth. And so you have to believe and know that he knows all about you. And if you really believe that God is your Father, then you have to admit that he has made provisions for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Made provisions for your whole life.
Right?
Right? He put us here, and I've said so many times, he's not going to require something of us and not provide that for us, you know, for us to be able to be what he wants us to be. And so he's obviously made provisions for us as a man would over for his children. But God, in a greater way, would make a way for his people, make provisions for them to be kept and to be taken care of and to grow and to learn and to mature and to become sons and daughters of God in full manifestation. So you have to, you know, if we believe God is God, then you know he's infinite, and we have to just be still and know that he's God, right? And so to believe that, and so we have to, you know, get into his program. And we understand in his program that he sets among us people that can be that can help us.
Right.
When I said he's made provisions for us, he didn't just give us his word. That's plenty. But he goes beyond that, and he gives us people around us who also believe the word, who also live the word, who can help you and encourage you. He could have just given us the word, but he gave us a fivefold ministry.
Right.
He gave us something called fellowship,
yeah.
Right? Encouragement, instruction, rebuke. He gave us all these things, and they're there so that it's to help us. To help, because what is it? It's provisions that he's made for you,
yeah.
To help you through life's journey. He sends many things. You know, the scripture said that you can entertain angels unaware.
Right?
I wonder sometimes if that hasn't happened. And so he has sent provisions, and they come in many forms. And tonight I want to talk to you about those that God places among you to be a help to you. It's actually a gift from God to help you. He doesn't just place anyone in your life and say, well, that person, you know, to be the influence. But he sets among you people that's got long-lasting Christian testimonies that have a success in their life. And so it's like I've always said, you know, that God's not going to raise up some little man over here and say, well, he's a prophet, and expect the whole world to believe him when there's no track record, there's nothing there to prove it.
Right.
But God will raise up, as he did, a ministry that has a track record that people can now put their confidence in. When that woman at the well, when Jesus showed her the sign of a prophet, she got serious. Because now she knew he was somebody really to listen to, and that's when she started speaking spiritual questions with him, because there was something there. And so God puts people in your life, and he puts, of course, the devil's got people there too. But God puts people there, and those people will have, you know, testimonies, and their life will show that God has worked in their life. They'll be sturdy. They'll have something that agrees with the gospel there, and it can be a help to you. And so we know that God does that, and so God expects us to take heed to those that he places among us who's got a life and got an influence that agrees with the word and that's trying to impart the word to you. He expects us to give heed to that and pay attention to it and pay attention to that influence that those people have over you,
yeah.
right? Because God sent it there for a purpose. Amen? And so these people I'm talking about, I'm gonna call them watchmen. And it's in many ways, it's ministry, obviously, but it could be your parents. That's right. And so we want to talk about that just for just a little bit. And so these associations that God gives us in our life are real. They're very real. If you know, I've said this many times, maybe to people I've met at work and different things like that. I believe that God makes our paths cross for a reason. And you know, and so at least while our path is crossing, I want to be as much of an influence as I can to the right things.
Yes.
And to the gospel. Right. And be an influence, you know. And so when the scripture said we overcome by the word, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's a power, there's an overcoming that comes from a testimony of overcoming.
Right.
And so God wants us to share, as I've said before, you know, when people are sad and they cry, it's an uncontrollable thing. And when something's funny, they laugh, and it's uncontrollable.
Yeah.
Because both sorrow and joy, God means to be shared.
Yeah.
Think about it. It's, he made us that way. Mm-hmm. See? And so, and we know, as I think we seen the other day, a thing talking about how people live longer, and they said that they've determined that people who live lonely, it takes about 15 years off of their life. God doesn't want us to be lonely. He wants us to have influence and fellowship and also that your brothers and sisters can help purify you, right? And we know that. And so God provides those things, and he expects us to look at them, because these associations that he causes to cross our paths on this earth, believers, they're eternal associations.
Right.
Because I believe that I'll see you over there. And you'll see me. We'll be there together. Brother Ram said that in things that are to be, I believe it was a sermon where he's talking about, you know, we're going to go there. And that life there is a continuation of this one. And we go there into that realm. So what God has started here, he will finish.
Yeah.
We believe that. And so these influences, I just want to present them to you as watchmen. And so watchmen, we understand, we read the scripture, watchmen, one of the night. We could have read just the scriptures where God said to the watchmen, you're responsible. If you see the enemy coming, you have to warn the people. And if you don't warn them and the enemy comes and takes them, you're guilty. They'll die in their sins. They'll die, that's what it said, in their sins, but it'll be required at your hand. But if you, as a watchman, if you will warn the people and tell them what you see and tell what's coming, if they won't listen to it, they'll die in their sins and it'll be on them, but you'll be free.
Yeah.
You'll be free of it. So, you know, a watchman is a responsibility. And so the watchmen in the cities, they'd have a tower, a high place, you know, even do it now, you know, like in forests and stuff, they have towers they can go up and they can watch for forest fires and things like that. But towers, because when you get higher up, you can see further and so forth. And so they would have these high towers that these watchmen would be in. And these watchmen were there 24-7. 24-7. He had to have good ears. He had to have good eyes. He had to be a gifted person, right? He had to have good ears, good eyes. And he had to know the sun, the cycle of the stars and the moon, because at any given time during the day or night, he might be asked, watchman, what are the night? What time is it? And because he knows the position of the sun and the moon and the stars, and he could look and he'd say, oh, it's 2:30. It's 2:30 a.m. in the morning. See? Well, what if he didn't know that?
Yeah.
What? He's like, I don't know. See? So he's put in that position because he's gifted to be in that position.
Right.
And that gift in that position has advantage over everybody else, but he's there for their protection.
Yeah.
Right.
So he has to know those things. We can see in the scriptures that a watchman, you know, he has to know, we see in the scriptures where he could see a man running and said, I know who that is.
Right.
He pays attention to things. And so he says, I see this one is coming, and it looks like Jehu. or somebody like that. And so this watchman had to be trained and to be able to identify chariots and armor and the way people walk.
Right.
You know, if a person knows what they're doing, they can tell if a woman that's trying to act like a man, you can right. tell it's a woman.
Right.
Or a man trying to act like a woman, you can tell it's a man. Mm-hmm. Right? Take that with your modern ideas about you can be whatever you want to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, these guys would have to be able to look out across the land, and I don't care if it's 20 miles away because they're up high, they could see, and they're looking and saying, you know what? That's a chariot of an enemy. Mm-hmm. And they're coming. Look, there's a bunch of them. I see the glittering swords in the, and I can see, and they're coming this way. He's trained to know this stuff. Now, guess what? The people down in the city down there, they're just going about their business. They don't have a clue. They may not have good eyesight. They may not have good ears. They're not on the tower.
Right.
See, they can't see what's coming.
Right.
Right? And God knows that.
Yeah.
So what does God do? He gives them somebody who he gives to be able to see these things so they can tell you what you need to know.
That's right.
He gives you people like that in your life, and especially your ministry, right? And so he does that. So they need to be able to know all those things, and they have to be sent high above the rest. Well, the guys down there in the city, they can always go, look at that guy, some big shot up there thinks he's better than anybody else. Uh-huh. And it's not that at all.
No,
it's not that at all.
Right.
He's there because God has placed him there.
Right.
And so to warn of danger, because he can see things and knows things that the people down in the city don't.
Yeah.
And so, it's not a boastful position, but it's a responsible position.
Yeah.
Because he's gifted to do that, and God expects him to use the gift to warn the people.
That's right.
Right? But what about it? He expects the people to listen to the gift.
That's right.
And listen to the warning. He expects the people to not look up and say, I don't like that guy. You're supposed to look up and respect him and say, you know what? I'm down here. I can't see what's coming. I haven't been trained day and night for years of my life to know what's coming.
Right.
He has.
Right.
And we can all say, you know, I know people are like, well, if I have the Holy Ghost and I just study, well, why do I need your prophet?
Uh-huh.
And my answer to them is, then you ask God, why did he send him?
Right.
He sent him because we needed it.
Right.
And that's the truth. And so, he's not a boastful person. He's responsible.
Right.
It's just an awesome responsibility.
Yeah.
And so you realize that he's up there and he can see things and knows things that the other people don't. And you know they could get all aggravated or whatever. And the thing about it is a lot of times, when he sees something, and maybe they're not fixed to be attacked. Maybe just the army's coming up, you know, militaries do that. The Russians, they'll fly a plane like they're coming and then turn around and go back.
Yeah.
You know, they do all kinds of stuff to test reflexes or to maybe the boy that cried wolf just act like it not, and then one day they do come or whatever. So maybe he sees these armies coming and he, what do you, well, I'm just, you know, maybe not. Maybe I won't say nothing. Is that what you'd want him to do? No, you would want him to say, hey, we got a problem coming here, potentially.
Right.
So you realize that a lot of times when he's up there and he sees something he's concerned about, when he hollers down to the people and he's saying, you can't go outside the gates of the city today to go out there and pick blackberries with your friends like you like to do on Tuesdays or whatever.
Right.
So what I'm saying is a lot of times, his message doesn't fit with your plans. Because you can't see what he sees and you don't know what he's knowing, but God's put him there so he can tell you, and God expects you to observe that and give honor to that position.
Yeah.
To these watchmen in your life. Could be your parents.
Sure.
Right? Could be your pastor. Could be any other minister. Certainly the prophet. Certainly the Lord Jesus Christ. And the influence of any of those on your life. And so, God does that. And so, his message, probably a lot of times, don't like it.
Yeah.
You know, today, during an audit, we're going through an audit today, and the auditor said, you guys ever send out surveys to your customers? Yep, we do. We send them out every year so the customers can be critic, you know, can tell us, hey, how good you're doing. He said, what's your response rate? You know, typically when you send out surveys, and you can send out 100 of them to 100 different customers, and typically you get about a third of them back.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking about that, you know. Look at how many times you're asked to fill out, to give feedback, or you're asked to do a survey of something you bought or whatever, and most of the time we don't mess with it.
Right?
So most of the time these people are like, yeah, you know, I'm not even paying, you know. But there are times when that man's got to say things that you need to listen to. And if you don't, it's your peril.
Yeah.
Right? See, and this is the whole, kind of a theme of what I want to express is that we got to shake ourselves and realize God's program. God puts people and gifts in places, and he intends for us to recognize them and listen to them. You know, there's a curse in the Bible whenever we read it where the Lord said he'd take away the staff and the stay of the bread and all the different things. And the children would begin to rule, and they would forsake the leadership and of the ancient, those who've been around and knows and they've got some wisdom. And so when a curse comes upon a land, This is one way that the curse can work is now your young people who don't know won't even listen to the ones who do.
Yeah.
The ones who have been there.
Right.
They won't listen, and you can't get them to listen.
Right.
And so same thing with people in the city. What a terrible situation it would be that if the people in the city refused to listen to the watchman. He's not a joke. He's not sitting up there doing false alarms and stuff. He's serious. That's probably one of the most serious positions that there would be.
That's right.
To be up there and have to tell people what he sees coming. But they have to give heed to it.
Yeah.
His job is not to go live and do and go take care of things. His job is to tell them so they can take care of it.
Right.
And that's God's program. And if he took the time to go down there and take care of your chopping your wood or whatever it is you've got to be doing like that you have to orchestrate around what's coming,
yeah.
Then if he has to spend time doing that, then he can't watch what's coming.
Right.
You see that in the scriptures when the apostles said, look, let's choose out some men that can go wait on tables and can go deal with these things about widows and so forth, but let us be given to the word. See, it's Bible.
Yeah.
These things are Bible. They're truth. And so his message may not be the best thing you'd like to hear for the day. Well, I had plans. Well, you know what? Your plans were wrong because you don't see what's coming. You didn't know this. But now he's telling you, and you got to change your opinion.
That's right.
And you may say, well, I don't see that. I don't believe that. I don't think that's what the scripture's saying. Don't be so quick to push him to the side and say he doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? You know that's happened time and time again throughout history and through the Bible. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
They just won't listen. And it's a curse. Amen. And so he's there for your protection. And that, no matter how many times, what do you think about Noah? How long did he build that ship? How long did he say it's going to rain? It's going to rain. I'm sure people get tired of that after about a year. Every time we go by, he's hollering at us.
Yeah.
But no matter how many times he says it, you've got to realize that's a gift of God that's working.
Yes, sir.
And it's there for a purpose.
Amen.
And it's there to help you. It should never be despised. It should never be looked down upon. It should be reverenced. And I'm not talking about the man so much. I'm talking about the gift,
right.
The position, the office that he's very heavily burdened with,
yeah.
To make sure that he shares with you everything that you need to hear. And so, you should never be despised. What kind of watchman do you want up there? You want one that's blind? One that don't have good hearing? Can't? You want one that doesn't know the signs of the night to tell what time it is or to be able to identify an enemy coming? Yeah. You You want one that just really doesn't care, and he just, whatever. We'll just let them do whatever they want. I'm tired of telling them. You know, he feels that way too sometimes. Like, you know what? I've told them 1,000 times, get ready, and they're not doing it.
Right.
How do you think that makes the watchman feel?
Sure.
Think about that. Right? He feels that way to say, listen, I've got to tell him. Yeah. I have to tell him. But then if he doesn't, it's on him, see?
Yeah.
And so, but then when he does, and now they begin to despise him because you're constantly telling me that I'm wrong, I've done something wrong, or I need to change this, or I need to do that, or whatever. But it's for your protection. What if he just doesn't warn you at all? That's not the kind of watchman you want, right? You know, we take, as the story goes with Brother Branham and telling about it, about the man, you know, riding the chariot up the mountain. You know, the guy says, hey, I can get within 1 foot of it and get you the mountain quickly, you know. And the next guy says, well, hey, I can get within 6 inches.
Yeah.
That's how good a driver I am. I can get within 6 inches of the cliff and I'll get you to the top. And the third guy says, well, I hugged a mountain.
That's right.
Right? Who do you want driving for you?
Yeah.
Who do you want standing and preaching the gospel to you? You want a sissy? You want someone that doesn't have backbone? You want someone who won't tell you what you need to hear?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? You want somebody that will hug the mountain. You want somebody that still has that burden on their shoulders for you to do his job. And so, you know, God is a God of structure. He's a God of hierarchies. And you realize the man at the top has to be more powerful. He has to be higher up. He has to be in a position maybe you would covet. You know, Brother Ben said people think they'd like to be a prophet. He said they don't know what goes with it.
Right.
And people, if I could just be that way. I don't think, you know, people just don't understand what that means. And so I had years ago, I worked at a printing company, and there was a guy there, and he was just as crude as could be, but he made a statement one time that he stuck with me. And he said, you know, and he was pointing to the president of the company, you could see him up in his office, he said, a lot of people despise that man, you know, because he's a millionaire and he's got all his money and all that. He said, but when you're at home at night sleeping, he's trying to figure out where your next paycheck is coming from.
Right.
And that's something to think about. We've got to quit being lulled to sleep and get back to realizing with God's program, the responsibilities and the awesomeness that we have as we live before one another, doing what God has called us to do.
Right.
Both to live it, but also to recognize it and respect it and let it have its place in us.
Yeah.
Don't be like the people who say, well, I don't see no enemy coming. Of course you don't. You're not down there. You've not been gifted for that. You can say, well, are you trying to say that I'm less than the man of God? I'm trying to tell you God gifts people to help you, and you've got to recognize that.
Right.
And if you want to just say, I know enough about it myself, okay? Just remember, he's awake at night when you're sleeping.
Right.
You see what I mean? We have to realize that because God's got people there to help you. Amen. Just look at the politics today. You know, I say this, you know, that these people that are up here in high offices, they know better. They know better than the things that they're doing.
Sure.
And because they're doing them, they should pay more penalty.
Yeah.
They should pay a higher price. You know, if you take somebody, you take a little boy, 5-year-old boy, and he goes into a store and he steals a piece of candy and puts it in his pocket. Yeah, that's wrong. Yeah, he should be corrected.
Yeah.
But what if the sheriff?
Come on.
What if the sheriff went in there and got him and stole it?
Right.
He needs a whole lot more punishment than the little boy.
Amen.
See? But look how it is. Because they're in high positions of power and they have no character.
Right.
Then they do whatever they want and in your face.
Yep.
And you can't do nothing about it. But God's going to fix that. He's going to take care of them. Because there's a judgment day coming for them, and they'll stand there And sad to say, there's no hope for them because most of them, they won't repent. Because they have to repent, right? Yeah, we have to repent.
Right.
And so they're up there in their positions like that, doing exactly opposite of what it should be.
Yeah.
Those people should live a very strict life and hold things to the... Why? Because they're up in high places and they're influencing and they have all the resources of people to carry out what they're supposed to carry out. And so they shouldn't be abusing it, but they abuse it. They use it for their own gain, for their own whatever. And the poor little people down here. Now, what if you had a watchman like that?
Yeah.
What if your ministry was like that? All they cared about was themselves and just to manipulate you and bleed you for whatever so that they could live high on the hog and never trying to help you.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's the way it is. God gives gifts and he puts character there and he requires it to be lived and told, the mark to be there. Told the mark. And so, he requires every person, as I said, that man's got to be in a high position. Why? Because he has to inspire others to live higher.
That's right.
What if he's a jerk and he lives down here like a pig? What kind of influence is that going to be? You wouldn't want something like that. You want people in high positions, right? You want them to have though, because they're held responsible, but you want them there because they can help you. And if they're really of God, they will help you, right? But there's a certain respect and honor that has to go both ways there.
Yeah.
Them to respect and honor the call and the responsibility they have, but the people to listen to what they say.
Yeah.
And so we understand that. God requires every person underneath that chain of command to recognize that. But he also commands that everybody underneath there is blessed by that office. And they are. And so, you know, these men did not promote themselves to that position themselves. God gave them gifts and abilities. The scripture said a man's gift will make room for him. And I've said this before, in the workplace, if you know what you're doing, and other people will gravitate to you because they see that you know what's doing, and they want to learn from you. They want to, and so you take somebody come in. I've got one or two guys that's worked for me that they probably never be more than what they are now. And new guys will come in, and man, they just learn and they learn, and next thing you know, they've only been there 2 months, but they can work circles around a guy that's been there 10 years. You know, and so sad to say this like that, but that's how it is. And so these men are in these places because they're gifted. God has put them there for that reason. Sad to say that men are gifted and use them for bad things too.
Yeah.
But I'm speaking to what I believe to be the bride of Christ, and I'm speaking of holy living and right living and the relationship that people should have with that. And it's so sad when I see people who will quickly dismiss what the ministry says, and the ministry's got a life that shows years and years of sturdiness, staying with the gospel, and people, you know, that's really not. And I'm telling you, God holds you responsible.
Right, yeah.
You need to be very serious about how you, well, because if your ministry is sent from God, they're going to be very serious to tell you the truth. They're not going to lead you wrong. The very thing that makes a person successful in a Christian life, they want to tell you that. They're not going to tell you something opposite of that.
Right.
They're going to tell you the thing that helps them. Yeah. And it's sad to see people throw that to the side and say, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
It really is. It's sad. And so he must live higher. He must live in a higher position. Because he's going to be calling people to a higher position.
Right.
He's not trying to be a big shot, but he rules with humility.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he must be an influence.
Yeah.
Right? You know, scripture said if Jesus, you know, said if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me.
That's right.
No matter how you be lifted up on a cross. In order for all people to see it, it's got to be higher. It's got to be something they can look to.
That's right.
And so the very life that these watchmen live, It's got to be more than what your normal, right?
That's right.
When everybody else, you know, all the other people maybe in the church, and they'll miss church for any old, just whatever reason comes along, they won't. And I just use that as an example, but you, whatever. They will have a stricter walk with God. Why? Because they're in that position.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody's got to be just like them, but that position is there to constantly challenge you. And if, since it's of God, it'll challenge you to come to the Word. Always
right.
To the Word. And so God requires, you know, He requires, like we talked about the high priest and all the different ones. I gave the example that out of the whole world, all the people, God picked one nation. Mm-hmm. And then out of that one nation, they had to live a different lifestyle than the rest of the world. And God said through them, He could bless the whole world.
Right.
So they had to live, they couldn't live like the heathens. But then inside Israel, that one nation God picked, pulled them to Himself, He picked one tribe out of that nation of 12 tribes. He picked one tribe and said, now you can't live like the rest of the people and the rest of the tribes. You have a sanctified life because I'm drawing you to Myself, and through that, it'll be a blessing to others. It was the priesthood.
Yeah. Right.
Then out of that one tribe, that one family picked... A family was the high priest Himself.
Yeah.
Right? Well, what kind of life did he have to live? Much stricter than anyone else.
Right.
Yeah.
And so these watchmen have to be like that, and they have to live, and they're there as an influence to you.
Yeah.
And God has sent them. And so I remember Brother Perry Green telling this, and I may not word it exactly right, but the thought of what he said was saying, I'm going to get that across to you. That Brother Bram told him, said, Brother Perry, if I live where you do, to me it would be sin. Now think about that. If I live where you do, why? Because Brother Perry wasn't a prophet. Brother Perry, well, Perry wasn't on that spot.
Right.
But Brother Bram was. And so there's a life that matches the calling, the position. There's a life that matches the gifts that are there, the power of those gifts.
Right.
Because even as I think my wife and I were reading last night, I think it was, where Paul's talking about, and I quoted later where he talks about it more, is like that I can come to you with this gift in my life for a blessing, not a cursing.
Right.
Because that, you know, you take the power of an atomic bomb, look how much destruction it can do. But the fact that you've got it keeps everybody behaving themselves.
Yeah.
You know, there's both sides to it. So that's an awesome position. And so he has to live such a high place that if he came down and lived where other people, it wouldn't match.
Mm-hmm.
It would be sin to him because he's called to a higher position.
That's right.
So that's why we have to realize it's a personal walk for every one of us, because God's got a place for each one of you, wherever it is, up and down this chain of influence. And there's always somebody you can look to that's going to influence you.
Right.
And there's always somebody beneath you that's watching you.
That's right.
It's always there.
Right.
And so the higher they get, there's a stricter living. And so that's why Brother Rem said, look, if I live, it would be sin. Because think about just stuff that we would do each day. And think about the angel of the Lord right there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you do it? Probably not. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
These watchmen, these positions in high place, they're there to influence. They have to live higher. And they have to call you higher.
That's right.
To be that influence. And they see things you don't see.
That's right.
And they know things you don't know. And God, it's not that they're being big. It's just the gift operating in your life. And they're trying to help you. Don't quickly dismiss it.
Right.
I'm not talking about just blindly following people. But I'm saying don't quickly dismiss those that God has put in your life that have long-standing Christian example to show that they've served God and God has worked in their life and they're you know, what the Scripture says should be. Then listen to that. And don't just disagree with them. Because if it's of God, what they'll be saying will be the word.
That's right.
Amen. And so Brother Branham lived that way. And so those that he has gift more, as we read in the scripture, he requires more. And that's to all of us. We all have a place where we are responsible to God. Amen? And through that reciprocation of that responsibility, that call, there is a certain gift and profit to those beneath you that can go out and be a help. But it all is affected upon your reciprocation of who you are and what God's dealing with you. Amen. And so, what kind of life did Jesus need to live if he's going to be at the very top? Think about it. We look at Brother Branham and think, oh, what a man of God. And he's going to tell you, and you've heard him, he looks at the Lord Jesus and says, oh my.
Sure.
And I look at Brother Branham and say, oh my. Right? And that's the way it should be.
Right.
Brother Ram says, you're laying back on the bed, and he's like, man, if you're going to do something for God, you better get it done.
Yeah.
And he'd already raised the dead, went around the world, and all these miraculous things, and he's saying, man, you better get going if you're going to do something for God. And we all feel that way. And, especially ministry, people pray that they're raised up off their deathbeds and all kinds of things, but we still, in ourselves, we look at him and go, my, I got to do something for him.
Yeah.
We got to have that feeling of desperation for God that I got to do something for him. That's what I said the other day. I just want to tell you about it.
Yeah.
I could tell you all kinds of other stuff that wouldn't do you much good, but if I tell you about him, then that's the best thing I could do,
yeah,
is to tell you about him. You know, the prophet tells us that a preacher of the gospel is a higher calling than any president would ever be.
Right.
Right? It's the highest thing you could have in the land, just about, as a minister of the gospel, and especially a prophetic gift, a prophet in life.
Yeah.
So, where do you think Jesus had to live?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think Brother Branham had to live?
Yeah.
Where do you think your preacher, your pastor has to live, or Brother Daniel has to live? They can't do some of the things that maybe you can do. But make sure the things you're doing that you say is okay for you to do, and they're telling, and you see it in their life that they're not. You see in their life they're not. You say, well, I don't have to because I'm not that. Make sure that you're not just pushing the word to the side.
Amen.
If God has put influence in your life, you didn't pick who's in your life to influence you with this gospel. God brought them to you.
Right.
He brought you to them.
Right.
Amen? So parents have to live a higher calling, because they're all watchmen. They're all in that position.
Sure.
And their life, the gift in their life has to match that gift and that calling. Amen. We are to respect it, not to worship, but make sure that we don't take lightly the word that they're sharing with you, the word that they share with you in word and in deed. Don't take it too light. Amen. Because God's put them there for a reason. If they're off the word, they're off the word. But I'm not talking about, I'm talking about a godly ministry who is telling you the word. And so we want to make sure we're not just glossing over that. Glossing over what they tell you and what they live. And they tell you, they live and tell you, and then one of the same thing. They don't do the things.
Yeah.
They don't live that way. And they're telling you not to. Why? Because they're in that position and they see and they know. And it's the word. And God, and they have to inspire others and instruct others to live higher, to be careful, to watch. There's enemies. They have to warn you.
Yep.
Amen. Because they are watchmen on the wall for that purpose.
Yep.
So let them be watchmen. And don't make them do it through grudging or through fear or whatever the wording we read there a while ago. Because it's unprofitable. It's unprofitable for people to make it hard for their ministry to lead and guide and rule. It makes it hard on the watchmen to lead and guide and tell you, right? So the scripture we read there in Hebrews, if she'll pull that up again, we'll just read real quick until you get the full gist of what it is. So obey them that they rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account. See, there's that watchman. They that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for them. Is that what it says? It's unprofitable for the watchman? No. In other words, honor that gift, listen to it, because when they look out and they see that you're not obeying the word, brother, sister, they take that home with them every night. Let them be able to look out and see that you're giving honor to that gift. And to that word, that they can have joy in their heart, that the people they're influencing is following after truth, so they don't have grief, because the scripture said it's unprofitable for you.
Right.
Amen. And so let them be watchmen, let them be the watchmen that God has sent them to be for you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. You know what? I have watchmen that I look to, right? We all have.
Right.
God made sure of that. God has made sure of that. Amen. So we just bow our hearts. Lord, we just want to tell you we love you. I pray, God, that these words that I have shared tonight, that they go sink deep into the hearts of your children. Lord, these things that are truth. And so many distractions in this hour. But I pray, God, that each one that has heard this will think about it, Lord, and they'll find in their own lives, Lord, ways to pull them closer and tighten up the belt, Lord, and not to give honor to a man, Lord, but just to look and pay attention to what God is doing in their midst, Lord, that it may have full fruit in their lives. We commit it to you now, Lord, and ask that you touch each one, both here present, those that are streaming, those that will listen later. We pray, God, that these things will be sealed away in their hearts. They find them to be help in days to come. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll sing a little song and let you be dismissed. How many's happy for your watchmen? No. And I'm not saying that. I, as a pastor, and you have, you know, we have to, any minister, we have to tell you the truth about tithing.
Right.
And it's like, I don't want to do that, you know, because they're going to think that's just, you know. We have to tell you the truth about honoring one another, honoring ministry and all that. And you're like, I don't want them to think I'm trying to lick myself. I'm not. And neither is Brother Daniel. But it's that we know who it is that has met us.
Right.
And we know what we're trying to tell you is truth. And we want to see you receive it. And let that be a help, because we know it will be a help to you. Amen. So I don't know the number for this song. I guess we'll just sing it. Lord, I lift your name, your holy name, Jehovah. You're the greatest. Jesus.